Praise God. All right, the theme this month is the Word of God, which is great. I love themes like that because then I can just preach whatever I want. Because it's usually from the Word of God, right? Well, it should be if you're preaching. If you're preaching from some other book, you're going to have a hard time. So in that, I was like, well, what do I want to talk about? And this week, I've had some meetings this week which have made me feel very small. Meetings with big groups of people and seemingly very important people. And I thought I'm a bit scared in some of these situations, you know. But that's nothing compared to some of the other things that can be quite scary to do, especially if you love people, right? If you love people, it can be quite scary. It can actually be scary if you love people and you're responsible for them, say your children, and you're responsible for your children, and so you get scared that something might happen to them. You get scared that maybe they'll encounter someone who doesn't love them like you do, and so they get to suffer, and so you can get quite scared. And sometimes we can have a broken heart enough times that we're scared to love anyone else again, so it's just like, let's not do it. Well, this morning's message I've entitled Scared Mercy. It's about being merciful even when you're scared. And you know, I'd never thought of myself as someone who was scared to love. But there was a moment, and I remember it quite vividly, when I was. The rather upset man who stood over me, was confessing two important realities about his life. He'd only ever known how to respond to crisis with extreme violence. And he had an extensive criminal record. So I knew he'd already done a lot of the things that I thought I wouldn't survive. He'd already done them and was quite well versed. But he was also asking me for help. What made me nervous was the reality that to confront his anger, this particular person had showed up to my house with a hatchet and had knocked on the door, and my children were home. And he wanted to see me, and he was pretty upset. He was under the influence of some meth at the time, and he had a wad of about $3,000 in cash in his hand and an axe. It was a bit rusty, so it would have been more of a blunt instrument death, but he wanted some help. But the reality is that to confront his anger, because he was pretty angry, I was going to have to say things that he wouldn't like. And that might possibly tempt him to lash out in anger, and he had the tools and the know-how to do it. He might be tempted to respond in ways that were familiar to him, ways that had led him to prison in the first place. I, in turn, might be tempted to respond in ways such as falling unconscious on the floor and bleeding a lot. But there he stood, a broken man. If still intimidating, asking for help, I couldn't say no. We sat in my living room and we talked for about half an hour. He tried to give me the money that he had extorted off someone else. He tried to give it to the church. He tried to go, can you, you know, I said, I can't do that. That's your responsibility to return it. He said, I said, no. This is your responsibility. You took it. You threatened people and took their money. You have to deal with that. When he left, he was still pretty broken. I thought, I haven't really managed to do much here. Except as he walked out the door, I said, hey, leave the axe with me. He went, oh, okay, Pastor, and he gave me the axe. And then he walked off. So maybe all I did was get an axe off him. Maybe that's good enough, right? It wasn't some miraculous, you know, he's suddenly, boom, converted and he's, you know, full of the Holy Spirit. And he was still pretty high when he left, I think. Mercy is risky. Being a church of mercy can be extremely scary. And churches need to know this truth. Everyone loves to talk about mercy. Many, however, are naive about the reality of showing mercy. It's easy to talk about mercy, but mercy can be scary. You risk being abused and disappointed. Our church used to have Dinner at Five, an event designed to offer a hot meal to single parents and their children. Every week, people would become angry when the food ran out or when there was a line. Though they were being offered free services, some still felt entitled to throw fits if they didn't get what they wanted. No one in our current hub is like that at all, are they? Is that right, Vinny? They're all so grateful and... Right, okay. Then there's a guy we found who was trying to use our church as a place to hide from the police. Or there's a young man in our congregation who was assaulted by multiple people while trying to protect a woman in a fight. Demonstrations of mercy can have serious consequences. Many demonstrate true gratefulness and receptiveness. Many demonstrate true gratefulness and receptiveness to mercy, but others do not care. They do not understand. They're only interested in taking. Some of you are nodding right now. Oh, yeah, those people. Are we really willing to serve those people? If not, we don't yet understand mercy. Mercy is lonely. Hastings Church, this church, is not regarded as a safe place to many in the religious community of Hawke's Bay. Our congregation of recovering or active drug addicts, alcoholics, former convicts has received lots of criticism. "I think it's nice what you're doing down there," one lady told me. "I just think you have too many addicts." Many accuse us of endorsing sin because we welcome homosexuals or transgender. Others accuse us of being a front for drug trade in our community. Still others ignore us because they assume we have simply bought into some form of the social gospel. Most never take the time to visit or get to know any of our whānau. As a result, few want to partner with us. Mercy is scary because it can often be lonely. Mercy is inconvenient. A church that shows mercy can't rely merely on programs and scheduled events. I love the team of volunteers I work with here in the church and in Connect Community Trust. Hawke's Bay is full of need, and showing mercy to our community depends on people being ready and willing to serve whenever and wherever a need arises. Mercy means taking time away from the comforts of your home to do court-appointed counselling for a young man who works every day until 5 p.m. It means calling that guy who hasn't been to the hub in 2 weeks to follow up with him, and then going to the space behind KFC where he stays to follow up with him because he won't return your calls. It means losing working hours because that guy that lives on the street you've developed with a relationship with nearly dies and needs you. Counseling victims of rape, caring for children in the midst of divorce, and learning to forgive an adulterer don't revolve around your timetable. Mercy is rarely convenient. Being a church of mercy means a lot more than offering some programs and organizing food supplies. The inconvenience alone can be scary. We know, of course, that mercy can be scary if we take time to consider the ultimate display of mercy. The ultimate display of mercy cost the Son of God his very life. It cost him his reputation. It temporarily separated him from the love of the Father. The gospel, which compels us to show mercy, models the reality of mercy's cost. We need to keep this truth before us if we're going to be realistic about our church's efforts to show mercy. It's not actually going to get easier. We're not going to become more efficient at providing mercy. There isn't one size fits all for how we are to express mercy. How do you continue to serve others when the woman you've helped to get clean and get on her feet returns to a life of addiction and prostitution? How do you keep serving others when the young man you've mentored not only doesn't want to stay clean, but also doesn't want anything to do with God? The only way to persevere depends on knowing the love of God as he has displayed it to you. Paul says in Romans 5:8, God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The testimony of the Bible tells us God did not give mercy to people who were worth it, who sought it out. Rather, he gave mercy to those who hated him. When we expect some disappointment, and better yet, when the gospel fuels our demonstrations of mercy, then we can persist in the face of difficulty. I'm asked quite often how I remain calm when somebody does the same thing to us over and over again, or they insult me to my face over and over again, or they're disrespectful, they don't just leave all this stuff behind. How do you remain calm? Why don't you, they shouldn't do that. I've done that often enough to Jesus. And he continues to love me. I do it every day. There's opportunities where God asked me to do something and I pretend he didn't talk to me and I don't listen. I offer up an excuse, the 1,000th one he's heard before. I talk to him as if he doesn't know that I'm lying. I forget that he can see everything and hear everything. And so when he asks me about something, I pretend like I have no idea what he's talking about. Does that sound familiar to anyone who works in what we do? I do that to God all the time. And before I accepted what Jesus Christ had done for me, I hated him. I was there to take what I could. We've all been there. I'll take what I can get. I'll tell you what you want to hear. I'll raise my hands up in church. I'll dance around. I'll say, amen, brother, all the time. And I'll praise God, woo! Just so I can get what I want. I don't really care. We do that to God. But when the gospel fuels our demonstrations of mercy, then we can persist in the face of difficulty. Because there can be real fear in mercy, right? There's real fear. Almost every person, a friend of mine I worked with at council actually, he was going to have a meeting with me and we normally meet in a cafe. I said, I'll just come down, I'm at the hub, just come and catch up with me there. And he texted me because he was standing on the road and there was a whole bunch of people between the roadside and the front door and he was a little bit scared. So I said, just come in. He walked in, sat down. He says, I feel really like out of, what? He's much better now, of course, but those first few moments when people see, are confronted with the reality of a people who are struggling as much as our community is struggling, it can be quite scary. But you get to know a few names and you realise that little display of scary behaviour is quite amusing. Or they've got an incredible sense of humour. Or you get to know a person, suddenly all that scary stuff goes away. I remember that because when I grew up on the North Shore, my skin colour was a bit scary for people. And you know, even now, actually, when they get a new receptionist at Tomato Peak practice, when I go in, I always get the, can I help you? Panicked, can I help you? As I walk through the front doors and towards the back. Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm fine. Like I'm... And someone will say, oh, that's Sarah's husband. And she'll, oh, okay, sorry, yeah, well, yeah. What I've found is my fear subsides when I know the God of mercy. My fear subsides when I know the God of mercy is right there with me. When I'm facing a situation I'm scared of, and I think, I don't know if I can handle this, God. I'm not sure I can deal with this situation. I don't know what to say. I don't know what how to react. Am I going to have to, like, pull out my past skill set and apply it in this non-pastoral way to this person I'm dealing with? But that fear subsides because I trust God. He knows what he's doing. He knows what is needed, even when I have no clue. And so often as a church, I know we have walked into spaces where I think, why are we even in this space? We're not prepared for any of this. We don't have the skills, we don't have the expertise. And God's kind of like, it's fine, don't worry about it. I got it. And suddenly a person will turn up and say, hey, oh, listen, I really feel called to do this with you and I want to do this and this and this. And I go, what are your skill set? And they go, this exact skill set that you need. That's what happens. God is amazing. Continues to be merciful to me when I'm acting all arrogant and think I know what I'm doing and march around like a sheriff with my six shooter. He's merciful to me. Every now and again puts me in a situation where I'm just freaking out, scared, don't know what to do, where to go, how to move forward, and then shows me his mercy again and again as he shows us how to do it. This is what you do this. Yeah, well, that's not going to work. Maybe not for you. It works for him. You know, we're doing stuff that I never would have thought we'd be doing, right? I'm not sure many of you would have thought the same. Things were pretty different. But I'm so grateful to God and to the promises in his word. You know, that one word, while. God asks us to express mercy in situations while it's still chaos, while it's still crazy, while it's still there's still stuff going on, and while there's... Well, a person is still addicted. Well, this person is still full of hate. Well, a person is still given to destruction. While we were still sinners, Romans 5:8, Christ died for us. Well, that's not coming for you. It's part of the problem being next to the police station, eh? God gave mercy to those who hated him. There's a lot of faces here I love. Some of them don't want to look at me. That's all right. Some of them probably don't like me very much. That's okay. We have a God of mercy who loved us while we were yet sinners. And why we hated him. So maybe that's how we should love one another, right? Father, I thank you for your great mercy toward us. Lord, I thank you that my heart is full of fear, and when I'm anxious and so concerned about, Lord, getting something right, Lord, I thank you that your mercy extends not just to me, but through me, to those around me. Lord, I pray that you would continue to fill our hearts with love for our community, that you would continue to fill our hearts with love for you. Lord, I pray you would continue to shape and mold, Lord, our lives and our work and our actions according to that great truth of the gospel. That great answer that came while we were yet sinners. while we were so far away, while we were so far from you, you chose to extend the ultimate mercy to us. Lord, I pray that our hearts would be softened and we would understand this great need we have of you to complete a work that we are ill-equipped for, and yet in you completely equipped. Lord, we thank you for your plans. We thank you for your guidance. We thank you for your leadership. But most of all, the heart that loved us while we were yet sinners and continues to love us while we yet sin. Lord, we thank you this morning. Father, I pray that as your people leave this place, may they carry in their hearts that great sense of wonder at the mercy of God. And Lord, I pray that in all that we do as a congregation, others would see just a fragment and a fraction of that great love in the work we do. Lord, may our lives and our actions, Lord, may even the cracks and the brokenness of our lives, let the light of your love shine, of your mercy and goodness and grace and unmerited favor and kindness be expressed through us and in us. In Jesus' precious name, amen.